to a celebration feast of poetry, folk tales, song, and dance. There's a wonderful spiritual called Wade in the Water. God's going to trouble the water. We're going to sing it in a few minutes. And you're going to wade some different waters tonight because we're going to give you a feast of perspectives as to how we look at one another, depending on where we may have been born, where we may have been raised, and how then that has shaped who and what our world is about. So, let us begin. And we'd like you to join some of us who started learning Wade in the Water. There's a solo, and it comes in. First of all, you sing, Wade in the Water, Wade in the Water, Wade in the Water. God's going to trouble the water. And then you're quiet, because there's a solo. And as soon as the solo is stopped, you say, God's going to trouble the water. And he or she will sing again, and you echo, God's going to trouble the water. And it's real easy, and you're going to start out with a clap about 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. When God created you and me, was there only one color of face that was meant to be? Or did God stretch and widen and deepen an imagination to create a family of mankind in a rainbow celebration? At times, it seems, we forget all the others, our black, our brown, our tan brothers and sisters. And so tonight in Tales, Dance, Song and Rhyme, we celebrate a feast of life for all time. Words and music that come from many places, thoughts and feelings from many different faces. Our beat, our songs, our words may not be the same, yet all of us praise God's holy name. Langston Hughes, a black American, tells a story with a question. Created in the image of God, was that only a white creation?
You know, when the Lord said, let there be light, and there was light, where are we? Where was this color people?
What do you mean, where were we colored people?
We must not have been there, because we're still dark. We must not have been there.
The Lord God was not referring to people when he said, let there be light. He was referring to the elements, the atmosphere, the air.
We must be doing something, because white people are light. In fact, white, or black, and dark. How come? I said you and I think.
Where do you think you were?
Late, as usual. Old CP town. Must have been down the road, didn't get back on that.
There was no CP time back in those days. In fact, man had not even been created yet. So there was no color people's time. The Lord had not yet breathed the breath of life into anyone.
No.
Because it was was Adam. And then Eve took one of Adam's ribs and made a woman.
Then trouble began. Thank God that's over.
I didn't call Adam an evil wife. When I was young, I seen him on a Sunday school car. Every time when they started school car, they was right. That's how come I want to know where was this color book when the Lord said,
let there be light.
Man, you got a color complex so bad, you want to trace it back to the Bible.
I don't. I just want to know how can you fight.
Then, guys, we might not be in business today. We might not pay that serpent no attention. And we're going to be together by faith. That serpent is a symbol. A symbol of temptation and sin. The symbol would be the same no matter what the way.
I am not talking about no symbol. I'm talking about the day when he acted as a cat. From then on, he went to the heat of God. And a couple of women didn't take your apple to the snake. You said I could snake apples to your husband.
Adam and Eve were symbols to
you are sinful yourself. I just was a colorful thing somewhere around the sky. I don't know where it was, but Eve was garden. We sure didn't get in on none of the crops. We had, and I'd be so poor today. Dry toast, maybe starting out of that ain't still there. Look at me.
I am looking.
Made in the image of God. Thanks, never seen nobody like me on your Sunday school card.
Probably nobody even faintly resembled you in biblical times. The American black did not even exist in the B.C. You are a product of Caucasia, Africa, Ireland, and Dixie. You are completely formed by our environment, our modern times.
Times have been hard, but still, I am a child of God.
In the cosmic sense, we are all children of God. But I hope you will not let your rather late arrival on a contemporary stage destroy your perspective.
No, baby.
Poets from Africa, Israel, and America speak from their heart about things in their lives that have kept them apart.
We have learned to wait, to wander with our flocks in ordinary pastures, to grow to be 99 years with no air. We have been tutored in the wilderness 40 years, difficulty piled upon trouble, waiting punctuated by promises. We are willing to wait in the dark for long, long times. Darkness, silence, time, they only serve to face the promise in its proper perspective. In proper screen, God's mind beyond our calendars. We don't give up because we know who gave the promise. God is faithfulness. Gently they go, the beautiful, the tender, the kind. Quietly they go, the intelligent, the witty, the brave. I know, but I do not approve. And I am not resigned.
Once upon a time, son, they used to laugh with their hearts and laugh with their eyes. But now, they only laugh with their teeth. While their ice-blocked, cold eyes search behind my shadow. There was a time indeed they used to shake hands with their hearts. That's gone, son. Now, they shake hands without hearts while their left hands search my empty pockets. Feel at home, come again, they say. When I come again and feel at home, once, twice, there will be no thrice. But then I find the doors shut on me. So I have learned many things, son. I've learned to wear many faces, like dresses. Home face, office face, street face, post face, cocktail face. With all their conforming smiles, like a fixed portrait smile. And I've learned too to laugh with only my teeth, and to shake hands without my heart. I've also learned to say goodbye when I mean good riddance, to say glad to meet you without being glad, to say it's been nice talking to you after being bored. But believe me, son, I want to be what I used to be when I was like you. I want to unlearn all these muting things. Most of all, I want to relearn how to laugh. For my laugh in the mirror shows only my teeth, like a snake's bare fangs. So show me, son, how to laugh. Show me how I used to laugh and smile once upon a time when I was like you.
Merely pray to you, O God, to end war. For we know that you have made the world in a way that man must find his own path to peace, within himself and with his neighbor. We cannot merely pray to you, O God, to end starvation, for you have already given us the resources with which to feed the entire world, if we would only use them wisely. We cannot merely pray to you, O God, to root out prejudice, for you have already given us eyes with which to see the good in all people, if we would only use them rightly. We cannot merely pray to you, O God, to end despair, for you have already given us the power to clear away slums and to give hope, if we would only use our power justly. We cannot merely pray to you, O God, to end disease, for you have already given us great minds with which to search out cures and healing, if we would only use them constructively. Therefore, we pray to you instead, O God, for strength, determination, and willpower to do instead of just to pray, to become instead of merely to wish.
When a man is singing and cannot lift his voice, and another comes and sings with him, one who can lift his voice, the first will be able to lift his voice too. That is the secret of the bond between the spirits.
Yes, it is the Spirit of Jesus that binds us together, but do we really see God's creatures as our sisters and brothers? A folk tale from Tanzania is the place where a monkey and a lizard come face to face.
I have a little story that I think you will like about a monkey who is black and a lizard who is white. Nkwambu the monkey was walking one day when he met Nkende the lizard, so he stopped to say, "Listen, my friend, come to my house and eat. I promise I'll fix you a very special treat." With delight, the lizard asked, "When will this be?" And Nkwambu the monkey said, "Tomorrow I'm free." The monkey hurried home to tell his wife, 'cause they'd never fed a lizard in their entire life. The monkey said, "Lizards like intestines of a fish." His wife said, "You really think that's a tasty dish?" The monkey said, "I'm off to see our chief, for I'm sure he'll agree to make our friend the lizard part of our family." When the lizard arrived the next day to dine, everything was prepared especially fine. The chair, the table, everything was set. If only the chief's rules could be easily met. The monkey said, "Friend, I'm sure you'll agree. Good friends are just part of one big family." "My chief said you can become one of us if you'll eat in a chair without too much fuss." So the lizard tried and he tried and he tried some more. But he always landed on the floor. Sadly, the lizard went home. Later that week, the monkey was walking one day, and he met the lizard, who stopped to say, "Listen, my friend, come to my house and eat. I promise I'll fix you a very special treat." With delight, the monkey asked, "When will this be?" And Kende, the lizard, said, "Tomorrow I'm free." So the lizard hurried home to tell his wife, 'cause they'd never fed a monkey in their entire life. The lizard said, "Monkeys think corn is good food." The lizard said, "If I told you what I think, you'd say that I'm rude." The lizard said, "I'm off to see our chief, for I'm sure he'll agree to make our friend the monkey part of our family." When the monkey arrived the next day to dine, everything was prepared especially fine. The chair, the table, everything was set. If only the chief's rules could be easily met. The monkey sat happily, ready to eat. The corn prepared especially as a tasty treat. The lizard said, "Friend, I'm sure you'll agree to make our that friends are just part of one big family. My chief said you can become one of us. Just make your face white, like mine, without too much fuss." The monkey washed. And he washed. And he washed some more. But alas, he was just as black as before. Now, my friends, it is obvious to see that God's been very busy creating you and me. The question is, do we belong to one big family?
Jesus said, "Do to others as you would have them do to you." Did he really mean others of every color and hue? When we can sing, learn, work, and pray together beneath the same sun, only then will we know God's will is being done.
Our Father, who art in heaven,
geheiligt werde dein Name.
Tillkomme ditt rike.
Hatawan ye nishita punao.
On earth as it is in heaven.
Дайте сегодня нам наше ежедневное хлебом.
Perdona nos el mal. Que hemos hecho.
Caigar altoi, ofiumen panti, ofelenti hemen.
Lai ocun itis vrestingon.
me vergenu de mal.
For thine is the kingdom.
Nan guvu na utukufu.
That we see our meaning. for the eternal spirit can spring to life if there is someone who can love us enough that we dare risk life once again. This is resurrection, the rebirth of hope, that in all death we experience life, that when we are able, we hold out our hand to our brother and sister in their despair, giving them a glimpse of that greater love that allows us to do so. This is life. That in the spirit of Jesus, despair cannot overcome. Could it be that from the seeds of suffering and oppression, rejection and utter desolation, springs an inner, stronger compassion, joy, and hope? For our roots have sunk deeper into the knowledge of who we really are, to whom we really belong. Could it be that the desert will really blossom?
Keep on flying.
Life is a feast of loving and giving, but the choice is ours, what we do in our living. How the snake got its rattles, an Afro-American folktale for us all, tells us how we use power, whether we're big or whether we're small. When the Lord made the snake, he made him all the pretty colors he could think of, red and brown and oranges. And the Lord put the snake down here to decorate the ground and the bushes, to add a little color to everything. Well, the snake didn't mind ornamenting the earth, but he wondered if the Lord knew what a hard life he had to lead. And it was hard, wasn't no doubt about that. He didn't have wings like the birds, so he couldn't fly. He didn't have fins, so he couldn't go for a swim in the river. He didn't have feet, so he couldn't run fast. All he could do was crawl in the dust. He didn't even mind that so much, but he couldn't figure out why the Lord had given him such poor eyesight. Man, the snake was so blind, he couldn't even see a flashlight if it was shining right in his eyes. He was so blind he couldn't see his hands in front of his face, if he had had hands to put in front of his face. His eyesight was so bad he had to smell his way around. And to tell you the truth, his nose was none too good either. Now you can imagine what it must have been like when the snake had to go to the store or down to the laundromat. Crawling around in the dust like that, and being half blind, he was always getting stepped on. He couldn't see anybody coming, and since he was down on the ground, nobody could see him. The other animals didn't mean to step on him, but you know how it is sometimes. You're in a hurry trying to get somewhere, and you just ain't got no time to see whether there's a blind snake with a no-smelling nose in your path. Some days, the mere thought of going somewhere tired the snake out so much that he just didn't even bother getting up. Mrs. Snake wasn't too happy about that situation either. She couldn't even take the little snakes down to the playground anymore. The other children thought they were pretty jump ropes. So she was stuck in the house with the kids all day, and they were about to drive her out of her mind. And Mrs. Snake proceeded to call him a whole bunch of dirty names. She even jumped on his back, or his family, and started playing the dozens. Says his mama was a lizard and his daddy was a fishing worm. Well, Mrs. Snake was trying to figure what number she should play that day. Mr. Snake, and he couldn't find half concentrate with all the yelling she was doing, so he decided to crawl off to heaven and talk it over with the Lord. He figured that the Lord wouldn't be able to do anything, but at least it would shut his wife up if she got the word directly from God.
About 2 o'clock that afternoon, the snake got to heaven. The Lord was sitting back in her great rocking chair reading TV Guide. The snake didn't waste a minute getting down the ladder and going home. When he told his wife about the poison, she was so happy she kissed him. He told her that was the best be cool and went to bed. Well, a few days later, the rabbit sent word through the forest that the animal had to send their union representative to a meeting. All of the animals, that is, except the snake.
Yeah, please.
They talked and talked and talked until the rabbit got so disgusted he just shook off for heaven by himself. They were going to do all the talking and end up saying they should send somebody to talk to the Lord. The rabbit wondered if he was the only one of the animals that had any sense. A few hours later, the snake was curled up in a chair next to the Lord. And that's how the snake got his rattles. By that time, though, almost everybody was so afraid of him anyway that hardly anyone ever came around to see him. When they did, though, he shook his tail right hard, and it rattled through the forest, letting everybody know, "This is Mr. Snake here. You can't step on me now."
God's feast of life is waiting for us all, and it is to be shared if we're big or if we're small.
The Word was made flesh in Nazareth and in Africa, in America and in Asia, in Russia, Germany, and Norway, in Vietnam, Korea, and Japan. The Word was made flesh in Mexicans, Englishmen, Irish, and Polish, in Arabs, Indians, Canadians, Eskimos, and in Portuguese, Brazilians and Nigerians. The word was made flesh in poor people, rich, plain, short and tall people, in doctors and parents, in children and teachers, in lawyers and plumbers, in dancers and singers, and in you and in me. And we've received a promise. One day, we will be brought together with God and with each other.
I dream a world where man no other will scorn, where love will bless the earth and peace its paths adorn. I dream a world where all will know sweet freedom's way, where greed no longer saps the soul, nor avarice blights our day. A world I dream where black or white, whatever race you be, will share the bounties of the earth, and every man, woman, and child is free. Where wretchedness will hang its head, and joy like a pearl attend the needs of all humankind. Of such I dream our world. God's human rainbow is a feasting celebration, so let us go forth together as his spirit-powered creation.
Shall we sing? Let us break bread together.
Let us break.